Volcano the Bear. Fat Monarch and Halo Ona Volcano. Both tracks from the box set that came out a bunch of years ago called Commencing. And it's got a lot of great stuff on it. And if you're a fan, I recommend searching that one out. It's really, it's quite good. And Christian Naldi at the beginning of that set from Rurale. We heard something called Symphony No. 3, Heinrich Gorecki. Now, I usually play something at the very end of the show just to kind of round things out. But today I'm going to play something special because goes out to my cousin who passed away recently. And this was a favorite of his, and I remember him playing it for me when I was a little kid, by an Italian singer called Fausto Leali. Here's for Gigi. Rest in peace, man.
Ormai è finita
Fausto Leali from, I think, 1966. A chi? To whom? Big star in Italy. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU, East Orange, WMFU, Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County, at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. My name is Fabio. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your comments. And stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition, Hardy White. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? As we take a journey together into the past, into the ground, deep into the earth. And we dig up possibilities. And we dig up questions. And we rebury the questions. Because we don't need them. We have our own. I'm going to tell you a story. Now you can choose to believe it or not believe it. In the same way as if I were going to put a potion in front of you, you can choose to drink it or not drink it. But if you don't drink the potion, you won't get the weird and wonderful feeling. Well, you say, I'm afraid to drink it. I say, well, what if it's a placebo? And then we unlock the keys to your limitless imagination. And if it is a potion, it'll wear off soon, and I don't think it'll kill you, because we're really talking about a story, and stories can't poison you. Well, religious myth, but this isn't that. I was digging a hole. I was going to plant some bulbs, specifically some neon tubes that I had stolen from a Don Flavin retrospective at the Modern Museum. I have a thing about minimalist artists, and a lot of times I like to steal what they've done, because it really is minimal and there's not much to steal. And being an art thief, it's really about efficiency. I'm joking, of course. I was planting tulip bulbs, let's say. I don't know what I was doing. I was digging a hole. And I encountered a skull. And then I kept digging and I encountered what looked like a Saxon shield. Now you say, well, that's interesting. People, that has happened to people before, except there's one thing. I don't live in England. I was doing this in my backyard in Kentucky. Now here we have hollers. I'm in a holler. It's called Done Holler. And I was digging in my backyard, what the British would call your back garden. They say garden instead of yard. They say Scotland Yard. We would say Scotland Garden. They say public school. They mean private school. They might say, oh, I just got kicked in the Publix. And you'd say, which one? The one in Boca Raton? And they say, one between my legs. So there's a lot of differences there. And one thing I know is that we did not have a Saxon era here in Kentucky that I know of. Now, I don't know what was going on in, 600 or something? The 7th century? And it's difficult for some people to say, so the 20th century is 19-something. Yeah? Well, now, hang on. Don't worry about it. That's a really a third-grade thing. And if you didn't get it then, Just move on. You'll be fine. All that will happen is people laugh at you, and you won't be a historian or anything like that. Bless your heart. I don't know when things happened. I don't either, though, so it doesn't really matter. I was digging in this backyard. This is a scary, scary story, by the way. If you're easily frightened, I would say, you know, maybe don't listen. Because I might, if you have a really vivid imagination. Well, what's that mean? Like, have you ever started imagining something and then it manifests right in front of you and then physically harms you? That happens. Only in science fiction, but it might. We want that power. So I wish I could do that. But you don't. Because what if you couldn't control it? Say, I wish I could just think of a wonderful thing I want and it would appear. Say, oh, I wish this 50 millimeter prime lens that I've been looking at, very fast, beautiful, expensive lens, I wish I could just think about it, and then psh, poof, and then it's there. But then, you know, you have intrusive thoughts. And then I'd be covered with little weird creatures biting me. And I don't want that, really. I want more things, not to be swarmed by parasites. And that's probably something that would cross my mind. Oh, bless you all. They all, maybe it's good to not get anything. I really don't know. Listen, I'm going to tell you this story, though. So I'm digging in the backyard, and I know that you're supposed to call somebody before you dig. And a lot of times it's secret government agencies, because alien remains everywhere, everywhere, everywhere they say is a landfill, alien remains. Piled up to the sky. And a lot of times if you see any park, say, oh, the city's putting in a new park, and it's kind of low effort, and it's like kind of playground. The only reason it's there is because they got some little dead grays or something like that under it, or hybrids. Even the aliens were the first one to say, we should do a hybrid between the gas-powered alien and the electric alien, because they're both, we need them both for different situations. You know what? The electric aliens can boogie as fast as the... No, I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to get into all that. I would love to be able to know things that are beyond my ken. What's your ken? Your ken, your knowledge, my knowledge base. My internal library, my knowledge, my library of skulls. And there's all sorts of things in there, memories. And here's the interesting thing, is most of them are inaccurate. I don't want to really acknowledge that so much because I need to function. But I was just thinking the other day, you know, a lot of my memories about myself are wrong. And then I think about, like, the things I know second, third hand. You know, and they go, wow, you know, I could really drown in doubt. I have to, at some point, I just have to go, all right, whatever. Now, does that sound familiar? Because that's what we do in dreams. When you're in a dream, you normalize it, don't you? Say, well, it doesn't make much sense, but like everybody else seems to be fine with it. And there might be a thing called sanity within the dream world. And to be sane in the dream world, you must engage in a certain madness, right? You know, so maybe that's going on now. Let me finish my story. So I'm digging this hole, and as I'm digging, I'm starting to see human remains. Now, this is nothing shocking to me. I've dug up my backyard before and found a cemetery, except it was a modern cemetery, and it wasn't my backyard, and I shouldn't have been digging there. But I'm used to maybe every once in a while digging up a skeleton. When I like to dig, and I always was told by my grandfather, if you're... to plant a $10 tree, dig a $100 hole. $100 tree, $1,000 hole. So I just think everything's a $100 tree to me. So I dig a $1,000 hole, and a $1,000 hole is about half swimming pool size. Now, it's kind of too big to put a tree in, but what you get down is to bone level. And so anyway, I'm digging, and then I found this skull. And then I say, I found a Saxon shield. And how do you know it's Saxon? Right? Could be Anglo. Could be Anglo-Saxon, which is like a hybrid. Could be all of those things. Well, I know from Time Team. Now, Time Team is a British show that's still on, just like Steptoe and Son. And it's been going on for seasons and seasons. And now Baldrick does not host it anymore because he's moved on to doing other things that require a raspier voice or something like that. I don't know. Bless everybody. Everybody grows old. We can't expect them to do the same thing. They insist on it sometime, but we can't expect them to. Wish they wouldn't, almost. Bless all of you. Nobody gets me going like those 90-year-old rockers still on stage. Say, that's great. I'm glad you're still up there. I am, though. You know, I thought that with, you know, Marty Allen, the comedian. I'm glad you're up there at 92. I'm puzzled, but I'm, you know, keep going. Gosh, you're 90 years young. And then he died young, too, I guess at like 93 or something. The deeper I went, the more I found of this skeleton. And I started to think back to this book of poems that my grandfather had when I was young. And it was a slim volume. I guess they had a bunch of them back in the day when people wanted to learn and know things. So I didn't go to school, but I'd like to learn something about poetry. No one says that anymore. So back in the day, my grandfather's era would go, I might not have gone to college, but I'd want to learn a little something about poetry. But now their equivalent would be like, I didn't go to college, and everybody who did is stupid. Anything that I'm not is wrong and poison. But my grandfather wasn't like that. So he introduced me to this little book. And it was the one I read. It was a bunch of poets, but the one that I liked the most was Longfellow. Because to me, because Longfellow had skeletons and death in his. I loved it. Oh, it's so dramatic. That's what I required, was Wreck of the Hesperus and skeleton and armor and everything like that. Just give me bodies, you know, because I was young. And so I'm looking at this skeleton and basically in armor, except it's not in armor because it's, I don't know where. Now I'm thinking about Longfellow. I go, where's this armored skeleton that you found? In fact, in what era? It's not clear. I wish Time Team would do that. So we're going to do a literary deep dive and go dig in areas where we think, you know, might have inspired some poems. We don't know. They're going up to Robert Frost, said the Witch of Coos. So we're going to go look for this broad. She's up there doing some spells or something. Button, who's got the button? That's my Robert Frost impression. I'd do that on the, I wish I could do that on the Tonight Show. You know, whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. And people go, oh, man, that sounds just like him. But I don't think that would go over on the. Is there still a Tonight Show? I don't stay up late anymore, and when I do, I watch that the Network for Dying People, because it has all the old shows that I remember hating as a child, and I'd love to hate watch them now, and because now all the actors are gone. I go, you were stupid. This was low quality. I was right. I feel vindicated. I think that every time I watch, I don't want to, you know, pile on something, and I don't want to, you know, go to the bathroom on your nostalgia, but it really is Beverly Hillbillies. It really is. It's kind of garbage, and I'm not saying the actors are or anything. I mean, some of them, like, I really respect, you know, with the exception of Buddy Epson, I respect everybody on that show. I think was a really good actor in person. And, but, oh my goodness, I'm so still disappointed to this day, and the show's the same age as I am. Maybe that's a thing, too. It's like, gosh, I'm just going to be a memory. People look at me and say, I remember Hardy. Yeah, low effort. But let me tell you something about that. I think until you have stolen someone's shoes and walked in them, and I don't know what else you want to do, put raisins in them, and then return them, I don't think you understand them the way that you think you don't. And so maybe, yes, can you evaluate and judge the course of my life, the way that I'm doing with this skeleton in that's not doesn't have its armor with it, that's in my backyard. Now I'm getting ready to call the time team. So if you're thinking I'm turning out this story, because the minute time team gets here, it's gonna pick up. Because you're going to find out it's a demonic king. And the reason there's a Saxon king, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but one of the reasons is there's a portal here. Isn't that lovely? I don't know whether that's any kind of tariff things apply, but there's a portal. Now, I haven't discovered whether it's a time portal yet. Something I've been disappointed about the time team is they do not literally have time travel capabilities. So I was a little taken back because I was like, whoa, you're pretty playing fast and loose with terminology within the time travel community. Because for us, time team has a specific meaning and you're just using it. You're archaeologists. Okay, that's a thing. But we don't pretend to time travel. What you're doing is digging up bones and pottery and little things that people used to wear on the end of their whatever. I don't know what I'm going to, hey, I've got an end of something, a finger, toe, I'm going to put gold on it. And they would do that and then they die and then you find it. That is different than my friends and I who made a machine out of vacuum tubes and travel back and forth between different distinct eras. And yes, we bring things back with us. Granted, mostly they're racing sheets. But a lot of times, though, you know, we bring things to museums. Museums do business with myself and my friends because of the time machine thing. There's a lot of startup museums that don't have the resources to go out and dig up antiquities. So we go back and snatch them fresh. And I got the idea from Doctor Who. Because I think Doctor Who did that one time. Say, boy, the paint on your Van Gogh is still wet. Is it a forgery? We go, you know, yes and no. Because if it's recent, you know, Van Gogh painted it, but just now. So does that make it a forgery? I feel like that all the time. I feel like I'm stealing from myself constantly. People self-plagiarize and they get in trouble. So he took this from one of his books and put it in this other book, which is weird. But I'm self-plagiarized from things I thought of earlier. Also, I repeat jokes, but that just has to do with my memory and things like that. Don't you do that? I have a habit. This is a thing I wish I didn't do, is I wish I didn't start telling a friend about a movie that we saw together. And that's always, you know, I know I was sitting right next to you. We weren't interacting. I know there's a million people have said it's not really a joke as much as I like to. I'm saying it as an observation, pointing something more philosophical and poetic. People like get a laugh out of it. Not me. I'm moving on to talk about perception and awareness and the moment. I'm using it as a metaphor for time and memory. Do we even notice what happens around us? You know, everything is so fleeting. Like airplane food. Have you seen this? Have you seen airplane food? Have you seen this? I think that the original observational comics were the pre-Socratic Greeks. You know, that Zeno-Leno coincidence is too much for me. You know, I think Leno's arrow. Have you seen the arrow? So I don't know which it is. I don't really read much philosophy because those aren't the answers I need answered right away. Mostly they have to do with customer service things nowadays, occupy most of my time. I go, what the heck? What is this? And then you got to figure it out, work it out. Do I even have an account with them? That's most of the modern life now. But it used to be sit and think about things or, you know. I was getting an idea the other day. I was watching a movie about people going out and counting birds, how many birds they've seen. So I've seen hundreds and hundreds of birds. I'm going to spend a year just looking at birds, taking their picture, writing it down. I don't know. And that kind of collecting, that's one of the collecting aspect of fancying. You know what I mean? Like cats. You say, oh, I like cats. You have a cat? I do have a cat. I have 500. Well, then you collect cats. And that is sort of different.
because I think appreciation, it's hard. You know, you like comic books? I do. What are your favorite comic books that you have? I don't know which ones I have. They're in a vault. So there's levels of appreciation. And I think it's nice to collect, nothing, really. And what I do is I do the opposite. I take something that you might collect, like a tchotchke, like say, you inherit, I had this aunt really liked owls or something. So you go, these ceramic owls. And what I do is I take them and then I just bring them other places and scatter them all around like that. And I think I'm uncollecting. And I think that's a thing to do, too. It's sort of like Swedish death cleaning. It's uncollecting. And I unthink, and I'm trying to unpontificate, and I'm trying to have unopinions or onions. Oh, I'm blessed to be with you and telling this story. Get back to the story. Because, it's a grave. It's got things in it. And I keep excavating, and I'm using all sorts of tools. I'm using a lot of dental tools. Because I live next door to a dental office, and they leave the door open at night, which is stupid, but I was, so I'm using nothing but even dental instruments that I didn't get there, like a water pick. Do you know what a water pick is?
No.
Well, instead of just having a toothpick, in the 70s or so, they thought, we could have a toaster size appliance in your bathroom with a big, maybe half gallon water reservoir, a wand with some attachments, right? And it's a motor in it. And what it is a, like a pressure washer, like a water pick. I think they had them at the dentist before that. And said, I could get this at home. You can get all sorts of dental things at home. You can get dental chairs. You can get that tray that slides in front of you. You can get that thing that goes over your eye or something that what doctors used to wear that's, now my eye is a concave mirror. I can burn ships on the horizon. All those things. And so, but the water pick, and you could do that, and it would make your gums bleed, and you spit blood into your avocado green sink. That was the 70s, this beautiful era. And I can go back there and get you one if you want. That's another thing, too. I have it's not eBay, but it's TimeBay. And we have, you just say, I want this from then, and I try to go get it. And I broker the things. I can't steal them, so I do have to go buy them. But, as people are finding out, prices in the past are pretty reasonable. And, I've seen those old cents. Everything's 5 cents. So I just go back with a bunch of buffalo nickels and I'm rich. And one of the things I watched for reference is the Star Trek, where they go back to the 30s or something? They go back to the Depression. That's what it is. They go back to, I think it's like 2930. And Spock's like, I got my head caught in a rice picker. I'm not making it up. I wish I was. But anyway, so what they do, one of the things that they do first is steal clothing. And then they get caught by the cops and they run from the cops and they run to a soup kitchen. And at the soup kitchen, they meet the lady from the 70s soap operas. I forget her name. And the nighttime ones, not the daytime ones. And stuff happens. But how they handle it, because you go into another era, you don't have any money. A lot of times you don't know. You'll go back in time. You can't just say like, boy, what year is this? Because they'll call the cops. Sometimes that's good because when the cops show up, you go, it's 1920. So you could tell that's where you could date it that way. I find that if they're hitting their hand with a billy club going, like that, and you go, oh my goodness, 1890? What is it? I don't know what year it is. And we're in the U.S., so the Irish thing is he's just got here. So I'd like to be a police officer. I was hitting people over the head in my home country, And I was just wondering if I could do it elsewhere. There used to be more job opportunities like that. What do you do? I hit heads. Oh, you could go all around the world doing that back in the day. Still. But not me. I'm a peaceful person. And I just like just being in my back garden with human remains and archaeologists. So I decided I got down to a certain level and I go, you know what? I might start encountering valuable things. And I'm like, I don't want to be the only one out here digging because these sites get robbed. And people say immediately say, hey, what you doing? You go, I'm digging up a grave. I go, oh, okay. But then, you know, because they think, well, let's see what's in there. Because a lot of times people put valuable things in coffins. Even nowadays, they'll put in like, oh, these poems I wrote. Who is that? It's like Pre-Raphaelite did that. Oliver Reed. And he buried the poems with his lover, Rossetti. And then he dug her up. And he said, I made a mistake. I need those poems. And a lot of times people do that. That's where you go out to the cemetery. You go, what are you doing? You go, oh, it's stupid. I put the family heirloom in there in the coffin in a fit of grief. And I got bills. So I wouldn't put too many things in there. I think it's just good to bury somebody in like a cotton tunic. And don't waste a suit either. There's a good joke, you know. I shared a suit with my brother and, you know, he just died and it was his turn to wear it or something like that. That's the punchline. I don't remember what the rest of the joke is. These things can be looked up or they can be reverse engineered with your artificial intelligence, so-called. Go at it. I'm going to go in the woods and I'll come back when you're all done. I do think about that. I think about going into a cave like, was it Rabbi Simeon or something like that? Go hide there for about 7 years. And I wouldn't come out because I know that it would be that kind of cave that you see in architecture magazines. You go, this family lives in a cave, but it's not what you think. And then you go, holy good God, it looks like, you know, Frank Lloyd Wright made a cave or something. And I would just stay in there all cozy and everything. How do you get your food? How do you get your supplies? Cave Publix. I think it might be possible to, like a cave Bucky's. Well, you wouldn't need gas or anything like that. I don't know. I'm going to work it out. Little store, little cave shops. Well, how do they grow that? They'd grow cave food. We'd be eating a lot of mushrooms. But I think also, I'm not going to get into the details of it. People can survive. You eat what you eat. My goodness. If you couldn't survive in caves, why would all those TV shows always show some skeletal remains of some niner laying there? And he died, but we don't know when. He could have thrived right up to that point, died of natural causes. A lot of the skeletons you see in caves, natural causes. They're really old, and they were just laying there watching MeTV and around the fire or something, and they passed peacefully. And so, they must have starved in the cave. Plenty of cave food. I think a lot of stalactites are made of cheese. Because what happens is that, let's say you're over a dairy, and just over time, the milk seeps through the ground, and it makes beautiful hanging parmesans and everything like that. And they're shaped like, some of them are shaped like statues. Or look, this one looks like a waving goddess, but it's really a type of Gouda. That's a Dutch. So just so you know. You know who like Gouda? Van Gogh. Van Gogh Gouda. Speaking Dutch, so that's why you know. You say, is it sure it's not Flemish with PH? No, silly dad. I didn't think most of you had, like, man, I don't have I didn't have a father growing up. So I got all my bad jokes I had to get from other people's fathers. And, you know, I didn't like that very much. I wanted to have my own stupid humor. But that's all right. So I feel like that with you. I, you know, maybe you didn't have a dad like me. And so I will give you unconditional love and hugs and everything. And not in that, and that's it. I'm sorry, I don't have any resources for him. Not that kind of dad. But my goodness, I got love and support. You're good enough. Don't listen to those people. I don't mind doing that, though. Oh, my goodness. I've been shown love. I got some for you. I won't let them cast you out. Come on, y'all. I know you have great worth in your heart. Sometimes people don't recognize it. Fools. We're surrounded by them. Of course we are. Look around. Don't let it gets in your head and you think, you know, am I the one? Especially if you're a gentle person, or if you're a thoughtful person, or a person with love in your heart. You go, well, this is the crazy planet, or la, la, la. But, I mean, think for 2 seconds, you know. You're not going to, your life is not going to be disrupted by the other peaceful people around you, you know. So, bless you, we often feel lesser. So I hear you, and I reach out my hand to you, and I say, I offer you this dried up head of some kind of 7th century tribal leader, say king, who knows. But let's look back into his grave. There was all sorts of things that he used in the day. Let's see if we can find his favorite spoon. A lot of times they'd put stuff like that into you. I wonder if nowadays it's like, oh, yes, so this is your grandfather? Yes. And so we've gone with this coffin? Yes, I think that looks good. All right. So we have some options. So if you see the inside of the coffin lid, you'll notice there's some pockets there. Uh-huh. Those are any, we can put any items in there at all. We can even attach things. Like view screens or anything like that. And anything that Grandpa might have liked. Is there something that he might have liked? A book or some pornography or something that we could put in there with him?
Well, he had a favorite pipe.
Oh, he smoked a pipe?
No, not a tobacco pipe. It's just a length of pipe.
Well, we could put that in there. And it doesn't have to fit in the pocket. If you've got something longer, like we had one family in here, and Grandma loved her umbrella. And so they put the umbrella right in there, and her dog. And so, is it a problem? Dog's not dead yet. No, dog has to be dead. So, but the umbrella was right in there. Anything else that you think he would like?
Well, he's dead.
Right, right. We don't know that. I mean, we hope, but there's no way really of knowing. And so, wouldn't it be good to err on the side of what if he suddenly comes to life?
Well, he'd be in a box.
I was getting to that. So we have an option, and it is a small room, subterranean room, and it looks basically, I tell people, it's like a fallout shelter for death. And if you've ever seen like the Egyptian pharaoh tombs, it's very much like that, except we have folks come and say what they want, their Switch in there, or PlayStation, or one of the, we had a family in here one time said, oh, he's got this big blow-up doll or whatever thing, anything, we don't judge. So, but you had tea kettles, lamps, but it was just things that people have in life that are comforting to them, a favorite mug, right? And you can get we have whimsical ones in the gift shop here at the at Death Plus, and they say, you know, whimsical things on them, you know, world's greatest dead dad and stuff like that. So now, how do we know, you know, he's enjoying himself down there? What's going on? There are also an option for closed circuit cameras, and you can just, that's all hooked up online, and so you can just look at his burial chamber anytime, and especially if those lamps are in there and those are on. Now, once the bulbs are gone, they're gone. Once it's off, we can't, no one can go in there and change the bulbs. So that's a thing. A lot of people opt for the infrared or just do audio only, which can be terrifying. But, you know, it's up to you, really, really. Any way that you want to want to honor your grandfather, that's over $25,000. What do I need right now for some daddy poo? Listen, so I'm just going to go ahead and write all that up. We are looking now, and I'm thinking of calling. I'm going to go ahead and call the time team. Now, the only number I have, I don't have the time team number, and the only one I have is for Stephen Fry, who I was making crank calls to. So I have his number, but I don't feel comfortable talking to him, and Mr. Bean is just too famous, so I can't, I don't know how to get, and I guess Baldrick's not with the show anymore. He's got a name, Tony something. Indeed he does. So I don't know how to contact them. I may just call some local archaeologists that I know. I knew more in Florida than I know now. Oh, can I tell you a true story? No one's from Florida's listening, are they? Okay. At one point in my life, I knew both a prominent archaeologist and his nemesis. And what do you mean by his nemesis? It was someone who procured artifacts, like a kind of like an Indiana Jones, but not associated with the university. You see what I'm saying? A private collector of artifacts, and they were not big fans of one another, and that was interesting. Knowing them both, and to hear both of their relationships to the possessions of the dead, including the dead, you know, because some things are remains. I don't think this guy had any remains. I would have balked at that, I think, a little bit. I think having somebody, a dead person's bowl, is different than having their head. Also, I'm not a big fan of people having headstones. I've seen that, you know, in their gardens. Say, oh, this was, I guess, taken from a cemetery. Yes, it's now an unmarked grave. Congratulations. You know, because a lot of times these graves are hard to identify. And then part of me says, who cares? So it's really a thing to think about. But I think it's a good thing to actively think about. What happens underground? Where do they all go? Oh, memento mori. Remember Maury? Maury used to be here. I want to go. I wonder if Maury Amsterdam's grave says that. He missed an opportunity, if not, because he's the most famous Maury, I guess, with Povich. I'm going to write Povich. Is he living? Say, dude, you have an opportunity here. So with a beautiful skull motif, or perhaps a winged skull. You know what those are based on? Actual flying heads. Because just, flying skulls. Well, I mean, it used to be a flying head with actual, you know, flesh on it and everything going, hey, howdy. And flying around with the wings, flapping out just a head. There were so many different types of humans back in the day that we don't have now. And through archaeology and fantasy and drugs, we can put the pieces together and start to get a clearer picture of what human beings really are and what they've done and where they've lived. And it turns out they've lived in all of our back gardens and backyards or whatever you want to call that area behind your house. An army artillery range, whatever you back up onto. Golf course, army golf course range where they shoot artillery and golf balls. And they shoot golf balls out of rocket launchers. Oh, gosh, if I had a golf ball launcher, I'd make somebody pay for it. I wouldn't buy it myself. I'll tell you what. It is really interesting to see these archaeological professionals who are not using dental tools. They're using something a little different. I think they're using, I don't know, trepanation tools or something like that. But and they're dusting and brushing and everything to make sure that we get the artifacts out of here. And they've just found some wonderful things. They found a false nose. So I thought they didn't have those until the era of Tycho Brahe. But if they had false noses years ago, and they haven't found the time or distance portal. See, here's something we don't know, and we've got to date things. Did the Saxon king come through the portal from England to Kentucky? Was it a time portal or just a space? So did he come in like 1,000 and some years ago? Or, you know, recently, we got to look at the body, see how long it's been in there. Because what if it's just been in there like, it's been in there more than a couple days because I've lived here a while. And I don't remember, unless he materialized in there. Can you imagine the poor fortune? So you go, I'm going to transport to this other place, but I've got the elevations wrong, and I materialized inside a bunch of dirt, and I'm a goner. This does happen in movies, and I've checked it out, and you don't want that to happen to you. Bless you, always know where you're teleporting to, or don't bother doing it that way. It's just nice to do it the old-fashioned way, or either age, or use a time machine. There's a picture. It's an etching, I guess. I feel like it's Italian. I don't know what year. And it's of a skeleton, a standing skeleton. He's standing. Somehow the bones are being kept together without any connective tissue or muscle. And he's standing and he's got his hand on a skull, which is on a plinth. I think of a plinth. It's a pedestal or something. And the skull's on there, he's got his hand on there, and the title of it is Grateful Dead's Greatest Hits. No, it's Man Contemplates Himself. And I saw that as a very young person and was like, I know what this is about. It's about death and mortality. And I know this is true because I keep having recurring nightmares of my grandfather screaming in the grave. Yes, we deal with grief in different ways. We do. And terror is one. Early on, I found that one was, I was so, my, I, now I'm like normal scared of life. But when I was, my imagination was better, ironically, I was more terrified. But things are so much worse than I knew. That's what I don't get. Like, it's the reality turned out to be worse than my imagination, but my imagination produced more fear. Maybe that's just me. I guess, I don't know. I don't know why that is. I think it's because of, what is it? I guess little practical joke places that sell little hand buzzers and all. Maybe that gives me hope. Do we still have those? I think I always use that as a gauge of how well-adjusted the society is. If it has time, inclination, and money to buy fake versions of things that we secrete, then yes, I think that's healthy and good. We used to think like, oh, God, what level has culture descended now that we've got fake poop? Oh, I long for the days of fake poop. Oh, it was like the roaring 20s practically, like doo-da-da-da-da. Everybody was dancing around with fake vomit and whoopee cushions and woo-hoo, and going to joke shops and giving joy buzzers and everything like that. It was all this frivolity. Now, I don't know if it was like that or not. It was a little bit. I think sometimes, probably maybe only at Spencer's. But it's just, this is all about perspective. It's where you are. Who knows? The world is like, it's like the we've talked about this when different people feeling up an elephant and say, oh, an elephant's, you know, right over here. No, elephant's over here. No, no, it's over here. An elephant feels like my butt. That is your butt. What? That's not how it goes, but I don't care. I'm just saying that different people perceive things differently. And you're probably thinking that's how people like your show, people like me, you know? And it's just the same way as that, like you have a kid, you like your kid. Do you like the ballet recital that they are participating in? Who knows? It's moot. And that's because you're there having a relationship, supporting one another. And I think almost 100%. That's what our relationship is. This is the quality of things or their how pragmatic they are. That bothers me that every time that people sit down, that's podcasts do this. I have to learn something. My time is precious. I want to be informed. I want to be educated. But at the same time, I want to be entertained. And I want someone to touch me. You know, so all these things, I want everything to happen at once. So people long for, you know, but they're having trouble wasting the time. Not caring about things and not being anxious. I think the first people to go will be you professional YouTubers with stress, you know, and those will be the first people to live in to start living in caves actively. So just my prediction. But I do believe, oh my goodness, in things not having a point, not having a reason. Nothing beyond the feeling they give you in the moment. And I think it should be impermanent in a way. There's this idea, happens in art all the time. There's a desire to preserve things. Why? So it could be sold. That's almost 100% of the reason. You know? Because why would you, we're going to write a play and do it. And then that's it. They go, no, you're right. And then we go to tour around and people pay to see it and everything and that kind of thing. It's not necessarily mercenary, you know, sometimes just so I want to pay so I can keep doing it. Well, that's amazing. That's fine. But it requires different things, I think. It requires some planning and some purpose and, you know. And I have my old... Has anybody here seen my old friend, Carelessness? He made a lot of good art by being sloppy and half-assed. I like it. I like doing partial things. I like keeping flaws in things. I like that kind of broken aesthetic. You know that. You know that if you've listened. Because we're all broken like that. We're all inconsistent. That's the biggest thing we are consistently. And so I want to reinforce that with the things that we talk about. I want to jump from one thing to the next, not for the sake of doing it, but just to show you that there's a meandering path of frivolity waiting for you. To liberate your heart, to give you access again to that thing about life that you can't articulate, the thing that doesn't require figuring out. And that's the beautiful isness. What's isness? Isness, you know, is, and then ness. Ah, just the being. Oh, there's a word for it's being. Yes, I know, but if I'm trying to sell you some kind of woo-woo book or something, I might call it isness instead of being. Okay. Isness there. Is what? Oh, I think, first of all, your patience astounds me. Y'all have I feel like I'm at a Ozu Film Fest and we're 8 hours in or something like that. And you're also sitting there still with your hands on your chin. That's the attention span you have. Beautiful, my slow people. Where are you going? Calm down, slow down for a moment. And stall. I guess that's the thing. Sometimes sabotage. Let's say you don't like a situation. So, I'd love to get into sabotage, Hardy. I'd love to throw my wooden shoe in the works. But there's another option. And that's the getting to, you know, stalling. And it's wonderful to stall. You can stall everything. I'm trying to stall death and disease. I'm just doing that. I'm trying to stall anything like expectations. I don't want you to get to a conclusion because then I'll have to leave because I won't be able to fill it. I've struggled with that my entire life, you know, is doing anything consistently. There's an awful lot of pressure. You know that. So I feel like I have no identity. Well, what is identity more than capitulating to pressure to be consistent? You know, who are you? Oh, take a while. Ultimately, it would take me as long to tell you as I've existed to get it correct. I could sum up, but it's not going to be accurate. Oh, my friend, you should be that way too. Don't tell me what I should be. Okay, that's fair enough. I think that, man, when I observe a lot of self-harshing, and that's what I would just love to see ease up. You don't have to. You don't know me. I don't. Oh, it's so wonderful. Maybe you should know yourself a little less or something. There's the expectations are lower than you think, probably. Oh, my goodness. I've eased my heart greatly. I no longer feel, well, some of it's just aging. You get too old. It's wonderful to be too old to follow some of your dreams. It's like, whoo, I'm glad I stalled. Now I don't have to do certain things. Certain things, I guess I'm not going to medical school. Not that that was an option. But now I can rule it out. It feels great to check things off. I have, like, what's the opposite of a, it's a bucket list, but it's all things I wanted to get out of. So, got out of ever doing that. Guess I'm not going to get drafted. Stuff like that. Those are accomplishments, I think. And I'll never be on the Johnny Carson show. I checked that off. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. But there's something I've always wanted to not do. I don't know. I guess I'm just saying, hey, I'm just saying. And that's okay. Doesn't have to be a point. You don't have to be an expert. I do have friends, bless the heart, and probably sometimes it's my smartest friends, who really can't have a difficult time saying I don't know and would love to give you an answer to anything. Things way beyond what they studied in school even. But that's I think what it is, it's not to know it all or anything. I think just people think, well, you know, I'll have to, let me think about that and give you an answer. But answers aren't always required for everything. You can go through, do many things without any answer. I went through school, elementary school, middle school, and high school. And I don't know why, really. Some of it I do, but a little bit I don't. And I just did it. And I could think about those things or cultural things, but they're just there. Oh, bless you. I hold this skull up and I resist the urge to brush it off and then to take pencil erasers, cut them at different lengths that correspond to the thickness of facial skins and muscles, glue them on there, and then start putting strips of clay onto the skull until I've made something that I think is a reasonable facsimile of the person that existed when they had flesh and muscles on their face, and it never is. I've seen these recreations, bless the hearts. I go, doesn't this look, it looks like a face. I will give you that. But oftentimes they'll find an actual picture of the person and they'll say, you got everything right except the eyes, nose, and mouth. Everything else looks pretty good, head shape. But why is it so difficult, I think? Because there's no way of knowing from our skulls whether we did lip exercises or like that, you know? Because we got buff. Some people have very buff faces by doing facial exercises. And do them with me. And then you can get the equivalent of just your cheeks build up like they're biceps. And you go, man, you look pretty swole. I go, yeah, I've been working out my face. Looks pretty good, man. You look pretty buff, pretty swole. Yeah, man, I'm looking at my face and I'm eating a lot of protein and I rub it on my. So I don't know whether that'll get popular. Working out your scalp muscles, get them all puffed up, looking good. I think it will eventually will get. I have fewer ancestors than a lot of people, and that's valid. And so I have a crest on my skull where that used to be where my fairly recent ancestors had powerful jaw muscles were attached so that they could crunch through bone or rocks. I think they ate pebbles. poor thing. And so I have that. I have the primitive feature on my skull. And I often think like, well, you know, what if I reproduced with somebody else, our children might look like Klingons. Not the old school Klingons, the new ones with the ridges. Sounds like a snack. Yeah, the new Klingons have ridges, so they really hold the dip. Mm. They do, though. They have a facial thing. That would, what a letdown. I just saw, Patton Oswalt was on Star Trek, and they had him dressed as a Klingon, which isn't too bad. But it'd be a bummer if it's like, you're going to be on Star Trek. You go, this is great. And you go, you're going to be a Klingon. He was a Vulcan. I'm sorry. So you're going to be a Klingon. And then you picture, you say, oh, that's hours in the makeup chair. And then I got to put like stuff in my mouth. And you know what? For like a few seconds, it'd be going, that's unacceptable, Captain. With all that dental prosthetic. I don't know. I wouldn't do it. I'd say, I'm turning it down. I don't want to be an alien. I have to be, let me be a human and a bald one, because I don't even want to have a wig put on. That's how lazy I am. Oh, my goodness. I'm lazy. I'm so lazy. I'm not going to bother to tell you how lazy I am. That's too much effort. My effort goes in spurts, and you should be, you're okay. Everybody should be okay like that. It's like a weak urine stream, my effort. And, but it all, in the end, thank God, get it all out there, all my work, all my art, but it, I can't control it and I can't aim it. And this is my art. And, that's frustrating. It could be frustrating for people who like my art too. Say, Hardy, I wish you were in more movies. I go, well, first of all, you're in luck because October 11th at Monty Hall, WFMU's Monty Hall. I will be performing two shows, 3 and 8, for the Map, which is a silent movie with Benshi. That's narration accompaniment. So I'll be telling stories in front of a movie. And it's a beautiful with the collaboration of some artists that you've heard of and haven't heard of. And it's, I'm very excited about it. It's called The Map. So I am in a movie. Is it really a movie? Yes, it's, well, I mean, not like, you know, Star Wars movie or a student movie. It's pretty good, I think. It's art, definitely. Art house, art garage, art, anything. Really doesn't have to be an art apartment. I don't know where you're going to watch it, but it's, I love it. I'm being exploring ideas like, where are we? What's going on? And just in case you can't make it, the answer is, I don't know. But so, well, why would you go? Because it's about the experience. It's about the moment. It's not about answers and questions and anything. It's about going through a thing, having feelings, having your senses activated. That's what it is. And we do that with other loving and curious people. And that's what we're going to be. And I think that's what y'all are listening here today, is you're all loving and curious. So I'm pretty cranky. That doesn't mean you don't have a big heart. A lot of people are cranky because they're in a constant state of moral outrage. I mean, the world's a rough and frustrating place. And I love you. And together, we can go places and we can free our souls and unfetter them from these chains of mediocre, low expectations and the control of small minds. Oh my God. And smaller hearts. So we're going to expand our minds and hearts. Oh, and let's do it together. Let's get all pumped up. Pump up our intellect and our compassion. Here you go. What do we have to do? You have to lift absurdity over and over again. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, online, WFMU.org. I don't know what just happened, but I started thinking about, I guess, my upcoming trip, and that's what happened. But I hope I said everything. If not, somebody go ahead and do that for me, Scott, or some blessed person. All right, I love you. See you again next week.
Thank you.